It is Kiefer backstage at Bonnaroo. Patrick Watson has joined us. And Patrick, you've been here for a while, haven't you?
This is Friday.
Yeah. So what bands have you seen?
Well, obviously, we saw Paul, obviously, and I saw the Bjork show. That was my favorite show I've ever seen. Because I got right up front, and I never get to see up front. I was like, this is a pretty amazing thing. I don't know. We saw a whole bunch of stuff. It's a terrible question to ask me at 10 o'clock in the morning. But there's some bands I really want to see today, though, at Tempe Impala. I've never seen live, and I'm really excited to see them. And I would have liked to have seen the Al Jay concert, too. I missed that one. All the things I wanted to see, I missed.
Anyway. And I'm sure a couple of days removed from the festival, you know, some of the memories will start coming back. That always seems to be what works.
It's when you see like stuff like Paul or Paul McCartney or Bjork, they're kind of things you listen to your whole life. So when you listen to them, it's like you just can only soak that in one night. I'm not someone who can soak 1,000 concerts in. So I guess when I saw that, it was just kind of, it makes you think a lot, you know, like these are songs you grew up with and the guy you hear them singing, it makes you think as a musician. And the Bjork show too, after the Bjork show, I couldn't see any other music because I had the front row and I just... thought a lot about the concert after, you know, it just kind of gets in your head. So it's hard for me. I'm not someone who likes to see a billion concerts, you know. And it's so rare that the headliners are bands I've always wanted to hear live, you know. Usually it's going to be like a heavy metal band or stuff that's great, but it's not my cup of tea. So to have like two amazing headliners for me that I really want to see and like really experience it. But the thing with the Bjork concert is that I was just walking around like, oh, let's get a good seat. And then somehow I ended up right in front. And I was like, geez. And then subs hit me, and it's like there's no sub tower, right? So it's like the subs for the 85,000 people subs, you know. And my whole body was like, oh, rah, 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 rah. I had like the fear at one point, like it was like state of emergency. I was like, oh, God, I think I'm gonna die. Like this is like the low end's like caving in my lungs. I was like, oh, that was amazing. But anyways,
yeah, great. Patrick Watson is the name of the band that you front, your name as well. I'm always interested in the stories of how a band actually kind of gets together, begins to get traction. Tell me about making music for a book that kind of really got the thing rolling for you.
Well, the thing is, like, I was studying kind of classical music and composition. I thought I was going to be more of a film score composer in the beginning, and then I don't know. I didn't know if I was going to sing or not. I was kind of confused. And then I met this girl. She was doing this book of photos. And then they were very surreal. And I was like, oh, that'd be a fun project. You know, she's like, write the music. And it's like, oh, maybe I'll try to write songs for the book and make stories of the photos. And then I kind of found this thing out of it by accident. It was kind of science fiction, kind of folk. Still kind of touching, not too weird, but kind of weird. And I don't know. I started to find my voice. And then we didn't think we were going to be a band. But we had this old porno theater in Montreal called Cinéma L'Amour. It's been there for 100 years. Like, it's an old vaudeville, beautiful theater. And she says, well, you guys, why don't we try to do it live after for fun? And I was like, all right. And we'll rent out the porno theater because it'd be funny. And the thing was, our first show, and it was sold out because everybody wanted to see inside the theater. We lived in Montreal, so it was like an excuse to finally go in. So we had this, like, lineup down the street. And the guys, we were studying music together, and I knew the guitar player before that for a long time. And so we just put the band together and played live. And we're like, oh, this is really fun. So let's continue it. And then we started doing these weird multimedia projects. Like, still, we weren't a band, like... We did one where all the visuals were being filmed live in a film set beside the show. And we started off kind of in really the kind of art world, I guess, in the types of shows we were doing. So I kind of had them back. And then eventually we're like, we'd like to tour. So we couldn't tour any of those ideas because it was too expensive. So it became a band. And that's kind of why I got stuck with Patrick Watson on a band name. Because by the time we got to that stage, some people knew us and it was kind of scary to change a name and try to find something good, you know. So it's all accidental, really, to be honest.
It was a good accident.
Yeah, it's all right, you know.
Some bands, you know, think it clever to throw in like a cool instrument, like maybe a banjo or a theremin or whatever. You've actually taken that a step further. How do you get to the point where you're using a bicycle as an instrument?
We were really inspired by, I don't know if you know, like the composer Carl Stalling did all the old Walt Disney stuff, the Bugs Bunny and all the old Warner Brothers. And because what happened was when we did Close to Paradise Live, we had all this kind of electronic stuff and we thought it was really boring triggering sounds. So We built wooden arms. We're like, how can we bring the same level of kind of sound, interesting sounds, but we can kind of play and sweat while we do it. So that's kind of why we started bringing all these different percussions, and especially wooden arms. Like Robbie's percussion set was bells and trees and all sorts of crap, and he didn't want to do it anymore because it took him hours to set up. But I think it was more just out of like we liked electronic music. We liked the idea of exploring sound, but it was just so boring just triggering the stuff live. And we wanted to be able to just get a sweat on when we did our sounds and we were doing it by hand. So when we played live, we got a rush out of it. So I think that was kind of our initiative for that.
The song that really captured my ears listening to Adventures in Your Own Backyard, The Quiet Crowd, and there's a line in the song I want to quote to you. Would you rather be more than the things you say? Who is Mr. Quiet?
Well, you know, if I really thought about the song, I was going to be like really honest. I think the thing is when you travel like a lot with music and you meet lots and lots of people, I think people assume that people in other world at different places have really different things they want in life. And I think I was really struck, especially like, you know, when you come outside the States and you do the Midwest and you have a kind of preconceived notion of what you think people are going to be like. You're going to be like, oh, it's going to be like small town mining and stuff. And the more I traveled from country to country, the more I thought that people had so many similarities in the things they wanted. And they had different ways of going about it. And I just felt like the thing that makes people whole, that's one piece of puzzle, is kind of quiet and it's not said. Instead, it's all divided, but really when people want really similar things. So I guess for me, the quiet crowd was a reaction to that kind of frustration of knowing that all these people have so many similar goals and so many things they want the same, and they have different ways of going about it, but everybody keeps on putting different color hats on them. And it became a very frustrating thing as I traveled, because you're like, you start caring about these people you meet all around the world, and then you're from far away and you hear like the news about how they're perceived or what they say, and it's always like a bunch of crap. So you know it doesn't do anybody any good except for make people money, because it makes it really funny to watch the news and stuff. And just, I don't know, for me that whole song was just that kind of conversation of just traveling around and meeting lots of different people.
We're talking about album art this time around at Bonnaroo, and you've got an interesting cover for Adventures in Your Own Backyard. Tell me what's going on in this picture and why you chose it.
Well,
or the photo, I guess.
The thing is that thing where she's walking is a miniature village a guy built by himself in his backyard, like a whole town with like a town hall and like the school and everything. I guess it looks like it's real, but if you saw like this, he built a whole city, I don't know why, but for his wife or something, and just thought it'd be a great place to take the picture. And I think Adventures in Your Own Backyard was, I wanted to make something like as if the, you know, like I could talk about like big surreal things that people can't touch. I wanted to make like really normal things really surreal. So I was kind of looking for like bringing that adventure into people's kind of just everyday lives, so they can make it a soundtrack and take them out of their heads, but in their own backyards, and not necessarily because of some crazy big dragon or something. So I guess for me, when I did that cover, when we thought about the album art, we wanted something that maybe people feel at home in a way and let them kind of get out at home.
We're also asking people to pick out their favorite Beatles album.
We got all the
cover.
Covers here too.
Yeah, we've got them all up there.
You know, I'm a big fan of Sgt. Pepper's. I think that's my if I think of an album artwork from the Beatles, I think that's always it's the one that sticks in my head, that's for sure. But that's a great album. It's because of Mr. Kite. I love that song. I was really impressed that they played it live. It's not easy to do. Like, it's not easy songs to do. Like, I was realizing that watching it live, and I was like, so intricate. And it's like, whatever, it's just a simple pop song, but it's really not that easy to play and like pull off live. I was pretty impressed, especially at Mr. Kite, because it's all these weird organ things. But they did it for right to the... It was really amazing for that. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a wonderful show. It's the first time I'd ever seen him, and I was really impressed, especially, you know, how old is he, 70, 71?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And he sings great. Yeah. I can't believe he sing, like, break out the notes on top and then do it in a falsetto. I was, like, technically, I was pretty impressed just for the age. And
well, Patrick Watson, thank you so much for getting our day off to an excellent start. We appreciate it.
Oh, cheers.
And that's it, live backstage at Bonnaroo.